And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... So you know the thing.
The Granholm plan to increase oil production in America.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is called OPEC, and they made a decision yesterday that they were not going to increase beyond what they were already planning.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the sounds of the government elite telling us little people that we don't matter. Yes, Department of Energy Director, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, when asked, what are you going to do to increase the oil supply here in America? Her response is, oh, hoo, 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 as if I have a magic wand. So what I want to do, I want to play for you the clip again. Now, keep in mind, the question was gasoline in Sturgis, Michigan is $2.89 at this time. So, as you know, I asked everybody recently, hey, let me know what gas prices are in your area. I received numerous responses. California, $5. California, $6. Colorado, $4. Ohio, $3. Michigan, $3.50. Indiana, $4. Florida, $4. That's just to name a few areas of a few states. This is beyond maddening that we have to pay this much for gasoline. In just a few moments, I am going to begin to tell you why we are paying so much at the pump. But again, I want to play this clip for you again because this is an important clip. The interviewer asks, what are you going to do to increase oil production here in the United States? At the time, he said, in Sturgis, gas was $2.89. It is now, at the last check at the beginning of the show, it's $3.39. It went up 50 cents in a week. I want you to hear her response. And she sounds a lot like Hillary Clinton. Kind of looks in a way like Hillary Clinton. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what life would be like under a socialistic rule where the government officials, the elite, they don't care one bit about you and your problems because they don't have those problems. Do you think Director Granholm, do you think she has to pay for her gas? She gets into the back of a car and somebody drives her somewhere. She jumps on a jet plane and somebody flies her somewhere. She has no worries whatsoever about the price of gas. Meanwhile, everybody else in the country is struggling. It used to take me $23. In the summer of 2020, I was paying $23 to fill up my itty-bitty go-kart of a car. It is now taking me $45. To fill it up. $22 every 2 weeks I have to fill this damn car up. It's doubled. My gas bill is doubled. I don't even want to think what you, those of you with larger cars, SUVs, and trucks are paying. I can't even imagine. People who boat a lot. I mean, that's ridiculous. How much you would have to pay. So listen to this again. And just look at it as these people are the ones that believe they are ruling over us. We put these people in here. Now, this person, Jennifer Granholm, she begged for the director of energy position under Obama's administration. And he basically told her, you're not qualified. Get out of my face. Well, apparently it doesn't take any qualifications to get anywhere in the Biden administration because he put her in there. Bam, there you go. She's not even qualified. She drove Michigan into the ground. And it's obvious she doesn't know what she's doing in this position. Listen to this exchange again.
What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is called OPEC, and they made a decision yesterday that they were not going to increase beyond what they were already planning. So
first off, when I heard that laugh, for those of you who are old enough to remember the Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton version of Batman, and I believe it was 1988 or 89, the laugh Jennifer Granholm had reminded me of Jack Nicholson when he did the Joker. You heard her laugh twice. Listen to this. See if they're similar. Either way, they are both evil laughs. One was a character in a movie. The other, unfortunately, is a real-life politician. Now, Jennifer Granholm, after she got done cackling, kind of like Kamala, kind of like Hillary, kind of eerie. It's something about Democrats and their cackling. But after she got done cackling, she composed herself and said, as if I had a magic wand. And I don't know what it is about magic wands and Democrats, but that obviously is a thing to them. Obama asked if Trump had a magic wand. What do you think, he's going to wave his magic wand and bring the GDP and jobs back? Well, he did. He actually did, so he must have a magic wand. But then she said, we all know that the oil production is run by a cartel called OPEC. And they have decided that they are not going to increase their production as it sits today. So, first off, she never answered the question, what are you going to do to increase the oil production in the United States? Because they don't have an answer, because they don't want to have an answer. Now, first off, as early back as 2020, from 2019 to 2020, Donald Trump had this country energy independent. We were exporting energy out of this country. Let's fast forward to January 2021. Joe Biden kills the Keystone Pipeline. Joe Biden removes the leases of federal land to these oil producers. And therefore, we are no longer energy independent. So the quick answer, I mean, first off, why are we even relying on OPEC right now? Because under Donald Trump, we got to the point where we didn't care about OPEC. We were producing more oil than anyone, more energy, natural gas, oil, propane, than anyone on this planet. You had the environmentalists out there saying, you're destroying the planet, you're destroying the planet. Well, here's my question. What is the difference whether or not I produce oil in the United States of America or there's oil produced in Saudi Arabia? You get it essentially the same way, correct? So if I'm a new Green Deal, an environmentalist, what does it matter where the oil is produced? Either way, according to you, it's destroying the environment, which it really isn't, but, you know, we'll just appease you right now for the sake of argument. What is the difference? In your mind, the environment's being destroyed either way. Is it because your immediate environment is not being destroyed and that makes you feel better? Because if that's the case, you're really not an environmentalist. You're pretty petty and think of only yourself. But regardless, I went round and round this week with a gentleman about these oil prices and the prices of gas. I have a friend that is pretty, well, I'm not even going to say pretty. He's extremely conservative. And he is constantly posting things on social media in regards to Trump and how you know, Biden is destroying this country and the Democrats are just Nazi socialists. And there's always one guy that comments on his post. And this guy doesn't even know who he is. He doesn't know how he found him, doesn't know how he got on his post, but there's always one guy. And him and I went round and round. And he told me, I've been in the oil business or I've been in the energy business for 25 years now. This isn't Biden's fault. This is all the oil executives' fault. And I asked him to elaborate. He says, well, they stopped producing oil. They're not producing as much oil. And I said, okay, why do you think that is? Could it be that Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline? Biden voided all the leases on federal land? And then he comes back, well, the leases were voided for 60 days only, so now they're producing again, which is an outright lie. That is not even remotely close. Here's the thing. And nobody can answer this. He couldn't answer it. Nobody can answer it. Why do gas prices only rise sharply when Democrats are in office? Is it that the oil companies hate Democrats, so they're going to make it look like the Democrats are at fault? Because I really can't, buy that logic. I actually had one person say that to me. Well, the oil companies, because they're so Republican, you know, they're so big money, they're so capitalistic. Well, they hate the Democrats because the Democrats are for the people, man. And they're just going to raise those gas prices to make the Democrats look bad. No, that's not how it works. The simple fact remains, Donald Trump opened up oil drilling. He opened up the energy production of this country hundredfold, a 100-fold increase. We, under our feet, have the largest, we can be the largest producer of energy. We are the largest producer. We should be the largest producer of energy on this planet. We have the green or New Green Deal Nazis that are out there telling everybody what they should do. The Biden administration and the Democrats have been overrun by the squad and the progressives and the socialists. Now everything is green. So we're shutting down the Keystone Pipeline. We're shutting down pipelines all over the country. Meanwhile, Russia has a pipeline. Europe and South America, they're getting pipelines left and right. They are advancing in the world of energy while we are regressing. All in the name of green energy. The rest of the world gets it. Germany, which was so green at one time, is now firing up. I think the total is now 53 coal-burning plants for energy because they realize this green energy stuff, it's not working. It's not powering our country. We have to use these fossil fuels. Listen, for all of you New Green Deal wackos out there, know this. The United States of America is the cleanest industrialized country in the world. We have the least amount of pollutants out of any industrialized world or any industrialized country. We are at 1983 levels. When Ronald Reagan, when a lot of my listeners were not even born, we are at those levels right now. China's building coal plant. They don't care. Nobody cares. India's building coal plants. We are the only ones that are really stifling our energy. Here's a little history lesson for you. We're going to go back, we'll say the 16, 17s, even the late 1800s. The human race was stuck using primitive forms of energy. We had a basic electricity system. We didn't have gas-powered engines. We used to plow our fields with horses and plows behind them. It was hard, tedious work. And then the combustible engine was invented. And that changed everything. Because now, instead of using two horses to plow our fields, we could get a tractor to do the work in half the time. We weren't cutting trees to build houses and to heat our homes. That would take men days and days and days to cut a couple trees. Now we had chainsaws. Cut those trees down. And listen, I agree. I know what you environmentalists are saying right now. Oh my gosh, Tom, we need those trees. And we do. Plant a tree, everybody. The more trees we have, the more oxygen, the cleaner our air gets. It's a simple process. The trees help clean the air. The more trees we get, the cleaner the air gets. Plant a tree. But everything was easier because of fossil fuels. And that allowed the human race to expand and technology to expand. So now you have a supercomputer in your hand 24/7. These same environmentalists that are so against fossil fuels are tweeting about it off of their smartphones that are produced by fossil fuels. They're getting on their in their cars or taking their Ubers or even their bicycles. Bicycles take tires that are made of mainly petroleum. What are you going to drive when, if you're a true environmentalist, what are you doing? Are you walking everywhere? Good luck with that. Let me know how that goes. But here, this is the real reason that your energy bills, here in the northern part of the country, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, we are going to see a huge, and it's not just us, it's all across the country, but here in, because here in Michigan, there are more people in Michigan that heat their house with propane than anywhere else in the country. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, and Joe Biden are now thinking about closing Line 5. And Line 5, well, it doesn't do anything important except send energy, propane, to northern lower Michigan in the UP of Michigan. So you cut that off, and the propane bills are going to skyrocket. Here in the northern part of the United States, they are expecting the average household's energy bills to go up by at least 40%. If you heat with natural gas, you're going up 48 to 51%. If you heat your home with propane, you are expected to see a 55 to 60% increase in your bill. Look at your home's finances and ask yourself, can I afford this increase? Can my family afford this type of increase? Gasoline prices have skyrocketed. Food costs have skyrocketed. Now it is going to cost 50 to 60% more every month to heat your home and keep your family warm. Can you afford that? Because I know of not a lot of families that can. But here's the thing, and this isn't just my opinion. I'm telling you, this is the truth as to why this is happening. This is not because of inflation. This is not because of a shortage of oil. It's not because OPEC won't increase the daily supply of barrels of oil. This is to make you need the Green Deal. This is to show you how much you need green energy. Because fossil fuel energy is way too expensive. You need green energy that we can produce for pennies on the dollar, or so they say. This is nothing but a political game to get you on the green energy bandwagon. And they're putting the lives and the futures of American families at risk to do so. This is another example of how this government could give one iota less about the little people. It's all about them, because don't think they're not getting kickbacks. It's all about them making money and their agenda. No longer are politicians beholden to their voters. No longer do they want to do what their voters, what their constituents voted them in for. It's not about their constituents anymore. It's about them. It's about their agenda. How can I get more power and get more money? It is a sad day here in America, but this is the America we live in. And it's only going to get worse. The Democrats have made it plain and clear after their shellacking in the first part of November, they just went all out. They said, okay, We've lost the people. We're going to get our behinds handed to us in 2022. We need now to pass as many items on our agenda as possible. No exceptions. It's going to happen. So be ready for a wave of progressive socialist policies. These policies are going to be pushed through without your concern, without your approval, because this party at this point in its existence cares not one iota for you. All they care about is themselves. This is what the victory early in November has done. It has given hope to people that we are going to turn the corner, that freedom is not yet lost. The question is, how far will the progressive socialists of the Democrat Party get, and will it be too late? That is going to be the question. We are teetering on the verge of losing the freedoms in this country that we hold so dear. Stay with me. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. When I come back, we're going to talk more about freedom, racism, domestic terrorists. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Racking and jacking my mind up. Can I be telling the time? I don't care, no. Send 30 messages drunk and dirty messages drunk. But I don't look. No, I can't be fucked to look. The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm sitting by the wayside waiting on a good time when I see you from across the room. Sipping whiskey from a wine glass, pouring from your own flask when you look up and you see me too. I'm not one for chasing.
Okay, so the next segment of this show, we're going to start with Eric Adams, the mayor-elect of New York City. Eric Adams is a former police officer and black man, and he had a meeting with the Black Lives Matter leader in New York. And I want you to hear exactly what this BLM leader had to say. And after you hear this, I'm going to give my take on this, because there's something definitively wrong with allowing this. And I'll tell you why. So again, the leader of Black Lives Matter in New York had to say this after his meeting with Mayor-elect Eric Adams.
If they think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we are going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed.
The illustrious words from Hawk Newsom, the BLM leader in New York City. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed. Now, please remember, the parents of Loudoun County, Virginia, and parents all across this country are labeled as domestic terrorists if they stand up and ask questions, as well as be assertive to the school boards across the country. They are labeled as domestic terrorists. But Hawk Newsom, the leader of Black Lives Matter in New York, he can go on national TV and claim, hey, if the police department does what the police department's supposed to do, there's going to be riots, there's going to be fire, and there's going to be bloodshed, and nobody bats an eye to that. This is what is happening in America right now. And you're seeing a little bit of a backlash, and people are starting to come around and say, wait a minute, I'm a parent. If I go up in front of my school board and I disagree with what the school board has decided the curriculum should be for my student, and I raise my voice because my voice is not being heard, I'm considered a threat. I run the risk of being handcuffed, put into jail, have a record on my name because I had the audacity to speak out to a school board that is more political than they are educational. You had this gentleman go on national TV in one of the largest cities in the world and say, if this mayor says what he's going to do and brings back the police department, the crime unit, then there will be riots, there will be fires, and there will be bloodshed. Where's the Department of Justice on this one? Where is the double standard? Why is no one, where are the politicians, left and right, denouncing what this man has said? I don't hear it. Why does it take me, who does a weekly show, to come out and say, this is wrong? You are labeling parents who stand up for their rights against a political school board as domestic terrorists, a threat to the community, punishable by fines and jail time, and this guy can come out on national TV and incite a riot, and nothing happens. Last time I checked, that was a crime. I could be wrong. I don't know. But speaking of crimes, we're going to talk briefly about Kyle Rittenhouse, because this trial has literally gone off the rails for the prosecution. If you've been following this trial, the prosecutor in this is, to me, an arrogant prick. The questions he is asked, the way he has asked them, just his demeanor in general, what a flippant piece of crap. I'll be honest, I was pretty worried when Kyle Rittenhouse, when I read he was going to take the stand in his own defense. I was like, oh, with everything going on, why would you do that? But he did. And he held his own, and whether it be an act or not, I don't think it was. You get these celebrities, and this is what pisses me off. This is an 18-year-old kid. He's an 18-year-old kid. And you have these higher-than-thou, rich-ass celebrities, just media, Democratic watchdogs. They're lapdogs just out there ridiculing this guy. Oh, what a performance. His crying. He wasn't crying. LeBron James is a complete and utter jackass. The guy, he doesn't have anything other than the GED, and he wants to sit there and lecture the nation on legal proceedings and how Kyle Rittenhouse should be arrested. He should be thrown in jail. This was not self-defense. Really? Because the defense's key witness, they got thrown for a loop. The key witness was asked, what happened? And he says, well, yeah, he shot me when I raised my arm with my pistol and aimed it at him. He was told, get back. Didn't stop him. He was being attacked. Eyewitness accounts, Kyle Rittenhouse was running and a gang of kids were running after him. I shouldn't even call them kids. They were felons. The gentleman that he, I shouldn't even call him a gentleman because he's not that. The person that he shot was out of jail because of COVID on a sexual assault charge. You know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. But he decided he just got out of jail. He got a get out of jail free card. Rather than go home and relax and enjoy his freedom, what does he do? He goes out with BLM and Antifa and starts to riot and starts to burn things and start to beat people. And then Kyle Rittenhouse comes in to protect this. There's nothing illegal about protecting property. Should he have had a gun? Yeah. It turns out he should have. Because these idiots started chasing him and beating him. He had no other choice than self-defense. And then the defense brings their star witness up. And he says, yep. I was pointing my gun at him when he shot me. Just obliterated his forearm. I mean, his bicep is pretty much gone. And the judge in this case is not taking any crap from the prosecution. The prosecution is pulling out video games and whether or not Mr. Rittenhouse considered burning of cars and burning of traffic cones a self-defensible situation. They were ridiculous questions. They were leading nowhere. And the judge literally went off on him. This case is over. There is no way. First off, there's no way this child, there's no way he should have ever been brought up on charges. As a defense attorney, when your star witness, do you think for a quick second, any second at all, do you think that the defense did not know that their star witness that he wasn't going to testify that he aimed his gun at Kyle Rittenhouse before getting shot? Do you think that was surprise to the defense? They knew this. That right there should have been enough to throw this case out because that is self-defense. It is beyond ridiculous that this even went to trial, but it did. And again, we're finding that the media and rumors are the FBI. They had the drone footage. They had images of Kyle Rittenhouse being chased and being beaten, but they deleted those files. They deleted that part of the video to show that Kyle Rittenhouse was the aggressor. There is a lot of corruption in this country that needs to be taken care of. And the last thing I'm going to say about this case is I am so beyond the racism card. Not everything is racism. Kyle Rittenhouse is being accused of being a white supremacist. Kyle Rittenhouse went to the streets that night to ensure that people were safe, to help people. Yes, he could have gone about it a different way, but it's a good thing that he had his gun because he would not be alive today if it wasn't for that gun. If he really was malicious in shooting these people, he wouldn't have ran to a police officer and said, hey, I shot these two people. I was under attack. I don't know what to do. He would have ran. He would have ran away. His intentions were not to shoot these people. It was these rioters' intention to riot, to burn, to cause bloodshed. Sound familiar? Not everything is racism. I am so tired of the Hollywood elite, the athletic world elite. LeBron James, as I said, complete total waste of space as a human being. Why anybody listens to what this man has to say is beyond me. He grew up poor, learned how to dribble and shoot a basketball, and by his senior year was a millionaire. Multi-multi-millionaire because he could shoot and dribble a basketball. And that makes him apparently the source and the end-all be-all for anything that has to do with anything political, anything divisive, anything racial. This man who mocked Kyle Rittenhouse for crying on the stand is the same man who was bawling like a baby getting carried off the court because of a calf cramp. Now, granted, those hurt. I get it. I get them every once in a while. You don't see me having my wife carry me to bed. You don't see me crying like a baby. You don't see me flopping around the basketball court. People need to realize that these Hollywood and athletic elite have no idea what it is like to live in the real world. And to sit here and call us racist. I am so tired of being called a racist just because technically I'm white. If you are a white male, you are automatically, in the eyes of Hollywood, in the eyes of athletes around the world, just looking at you, you are a racist. They don't know your character. They don't know who you are. They look at your skin color and say, racist. They look at you as a white male, say, white supremacist. In my eyes, who's the racist? Who is the racist in all of this? The Democrats tell us that we as Republicans are white supremacists. We're the racist. But who is the one bringing up race all the time? I've said it before. I've said it a million times. If you want to eliminate racism in this country, stop talking about it. Most people in this country could care less about what skin color you are. They don't care what your sexual orientation is. All they care about is your character. But the left and the media keep drilling into our heads that racism is everywhere in this country. They're teaching our children that if you are white, you are an oppressor. If you are black, you're a victim. And if you're black, you have no opportunity in this country. And if you're white, you have every opportunity in the world. That's not true. It doesn't matter what color, what creed, what sex you are. If you apply yourself and you work, you will make something in this country. It's as simple as that. But until we stop listening to the media, until we stop listening to the Democrat Party that all they want to do is divide us, we're never going to get over this hump. There is no racism in this country. Are there racist people? Yes. Is racism the rampant plague as we are being told it is? No. It's up to us to stop this plague of racism that is being perpetuated on us from the Democrats and the media. We're going to take a quick break, last one. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about COVID real quick. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. You're too young to be on that bridge. You're too young to be standing on the edge. Too young.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
So, 5 to 12-year-olds can now get their COVID vaccines. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's a form of child abuse. We have no idea. The CDC has no idea. The FDA has no idea what this is going to do to children. Literally, they're telling everyone, well, we just need to give it to them and find out what happens. Are you really going to risk your child's well-being just so you can have them safe from COVID, which is essentially a bad cold or a bad flu? And again, this is coming from someone who was near death with COVID. I luckily survived my bout with COVID. And I am going to preach the gospel here that this is child abuse. If you give your 5 to 12-year-old child an unproven vaccine, you need to be taken into custody, as far as I'm concerned. You are better off making a concoction out of chemicals underneath your kitchen sink and saying, here, let's try this and see if this works. Because that is essentially what is happening right now. Now, 112 kids in Loudoun County. What the hell is going on in Loudoun County? 112 children in Loudoun County were accidentally given the adult dose of the vaccine from a pharmacy. Nothing can go wrong there, right? And now, do you honestly think that there are not manipulations? They're not being coerced into taking this, I can't even call it a vaccine. When the CDC is coming out and saying, kids, if you get this vaccine, you're going to have superpowers. Where is the coercion in that? How are you, as a parent, if you look at that piece of advertising, how would you not take a step back? How could you not say, wait a minute, is this really for the good of my child? When you have to advertise a lie to my child, if you get this vaccine, you'll get superpowers. That's a blatant out and out lie. It's coercion. It's manipulating these innocent children and these asinine, uneducated parents into getting these kids an unproven vaccine that we don't know what it's going to do. It's kind of like Nancy Pelosi saying, we have no idea what's in this bill. We have to pass it to find out. Well, then you find out it's full of crap. Same thing with the vaccine. You give it to the kids, you have no idea what's in it. It's full of crap. But we're still going to do it. 900,000 children have been vaccinated. That is scary. If you have to promote your vaccine as you get superpowers, children, you can be Superman, you can be Batman, you can be whoever you want to be, because if you get this vaccine, you're going to get superpowers. So a lot of these kids are going, I want the vaccine, mommy, I want the vaccine, expecting superpowers. What are they going to get? Heart conditions, blood clots, sudden death. Who knows what they're going to get? And now, I have not corroborated this, but a good listener of mine sent me a link. And this link essentially said, according to the WHO, the World Health Organization, by you sending your child to school, that is giving the school system consent to provide that child with a coronavirus vaccine. I'm telling you now, 99.9% of the parents, if this is a true statement, and school districts across this country are going to administer the coronavirus vaccine to their children without their approval and without their knowledge, oh, you want to see the start of Civil War II? You've got it right there. Because most parents run by the same rule. Mess with me all you want. You mess with me and my family, now we got problems. Especially if you start messing with the kids. Then you got big problems. Lastly, I just want to talk to you. So, January 4th, Joe Biden's vaccine mandate is supposed to go into effect. Now, the appeals court has overruled it, and it's on standby right now. It's funny how the Democrats have no sense for the law. The Texas heartbeat law was upheld by the courts, and they fight it. And just because they're fighting it, they say, well, it should still stay in place. No, that's not how it works. The appeals court says, well, hold on, we're not sure that this is even constitutional, this vaccine mandate. And they're like, well, we should still be able to do it. But regardless, I want you to know, this is how this is going to work. We have a dear friend of ours who is struggling mightily after she received both shots of the vaccine. She did it to save her job. That's the only reason she took the vaccine. Her husband, her kids do not have the vaccine, and she refuses to let them have the vaccine because of all the problems she has had with this vaccine. She actually has her doctor telling her, if you get the booster, it's going to kill you. She has had her vaccine shots, both the vaccines. She's vaccinated according to everybody, essentially. Her job has now directed that if by December 6th you do not have both shots with a booster, you're fired on the spot. This person refuses to get a booster, especially since her doctor said it would kill her. This is how this is going to work. It's never ending. You get the vaccine to keep your job. Now you have to receive the boosters. What if you don't want the boosters? Well, you're not vaccinated at that point. This is not how vaccinations work. You don't need booster after booster after booster of vaccinations for a vaccine to work. It either works or it doesn't. The flu vaccine really isn't a vaccine. A flu vaccine is something to help you prevent you getting that strain that year. Polio vaccine, that was a vaccine. It wiped out polio. This is not a vaccine. But yet, people are going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose their houses. They're going to lose their family's future over this. For a vaccine that doesn't work. Tell me how that's constitutional. There's no way in God's green earth that is constitutional. There's no way our government should be strong enough and powerful enough to be able to mandate where you work. How, if you work, you don't get the vaccine doesn't work. You can still get coronavirus. You can still spread coronavirus. A lot of people are saying, well, it just means that if you get coronavirus, you're not going to get it as severe. Tell that to all of the coronavirus victims who have died that have been fully vaccinated. This doesn't work. But yet people's lives are going to be upended. People's families are going to be destroyed because our government has deemed itself strong enough to determine that you cannot function in society unless you get this vaccine plus all of its boosters. If you don't have all the boosters, then you don't qualify. It's never, never ending. You need to ask yourself, when is this going to end? What do we need to do to make this end? Because right now, there's no end in sight because our government will not let it end. What is the end game? Why is there such a need to get everyone vaccinated? You tell me. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for listening this week. I'll be back next week. We're coming up on Christmas, so let's listen to Corona Christmas from Multiple Myself and Tommy V. Thank you for listening, everybody. I will be back next week. It's Christmas time. Let's all have some holiday cheer.
Done. It's been a hard year on all of us. This much is true. I can't help thinking that I can't wait until this year is finally through. Coronavirus lockdowns, riot and election blues, depression and depravity is all we see.